To the live line now, where I'm going to speak to author, talk show host, and political analyst. His book is called Preserving Liberty, Bold and Brave Solutions to Save America and Create Permanent Freedom. Welcome, Josh Bernstein. Hi, Josh.
Great to be on the program with you this morning.
Thank you. Am I saying it right, Bernstein or Bernstein?
Yes. Nope, you got it right
Bernstein,
the first time.
See, sometimes I'm not stupid. Okay, so as a talk show host, you know that I love books like this because in a world where everyone thinks they're special, it's really hard to get everyone to pay attention to the warnings that if we continue down the road we're going, nobody's going to be special. We're going to be Chinese. So
yeah,
we're going to be speaking Mandarin. Yeah. You decided to do this book because of why?
Well, the book in itself kind of happened by circumstance. I actually was at Turning Point in Phoenix, as I'm going to this coming end of this week, but I was last year, and I was walking around, and I saw a big area where they had a whole bunch of vendors, and I was walking around, I was talking to some of the people, and I saw a section for Skyhorse Publishing. And I walked over to it, and I noticed there was a whole bunch of different books out in front, and it was like Dr. Ben Carson, and I said, oh, I've interviewed him, and yeah. It was Dr. Robert Malone, I've interviewed him, Dr. Pierre Corey, all these different people. So the girl says, who are you? And so I told her who I was, and she said, have you ever written a book before? I said, no, I haven't, but I wrote something many years ago, and you know, it doesn't really make sense for today's time because it was more about Barack Obama at the time. It was called The Great Squanderer.
Yeah.
And I talked about how he squandered his presidency, you know, in race baiting and everything else. And she said, oh, you should update that and send it in for publication. So as I was getting ready to do that, I was contacted through the public relations, firm, Publius PR, and my good buddy A.J. Rice, and there were a couple of different people to choose from.
Ago. That's funny. That's so weird that you brought his name
great
up.
Guy.
I just emailed him. Okay.
Great guy. I've known him for many years. So long story short, he had Tony Lyons, who is the president and CEO of Skyhorse. So instead of doing something and submitting the book idea with Rachel, I decided to go directly to the main person, and I was able to get the book to be sent to him. And about 3 months went by, and at that point, I got a chance to do a Zoom call with the senior editor who did the last 7 books for Alan Dershowitz, and he thought that the outline was good, and he said, "This is a book I'd like to do. And let me talk to Tony." And I thought, another week, another 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, about an hour from now. So I got an email about an hour later saying that Tony gave the green light to doing Preserving Liberty. So that's the actual truth. That's exactly how the book came about. But the book in and of itself is chock full of different types of solutions. Congressman Paul Gosar, a good buddy of mine, he actually wrote the foreword to the book, so that he could introduce some of the ideas that are legislative ideas as new legislation in our next Congress. And it's also been endorsed by 2 New York Times bestsellers, the great Alan Dershowitz, of course, for its constitutionality and accuracy.
I want to get into what's into the book, and we're going to run out of time here. So I did read it, and I think it was very, very powerful on the ideas you have for closing the border, the ideas for restoring voter confidence. All of those things were great. But my favorite chapter was 6, because I truly, and I agree, that an armed society is a polite society. We're not talking about the wild, wild west here. We're talking about people carrying guns. You know, you can't just go up and hit someone on the head, because if we're all carrying guns, you probably don't want to get shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, in that chapter, I talk about gun-free zones and how gun-free zones have led to so many more deaths,
fish in
sadly.
A bucket. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Fish in a bucket. That's a perfect example. I talk about how in that chapter, the relationship between the government and the people is through the reason versus force argument. And what that basically means and what I talk about is that if we didn't have the right to defend ourselves, there would be no reason for our federal government to deal with us in any other way but with force. Mm-hmm. But having a robust Second Amendment forces our government to use reason to deal with the American people. So I talk about that argument. And then, of course, yeah, an armed society is a polite society. The more guns in society, the safer society is. And I know many people can't kind of wrap their head around that, but that is the truth.
Yeah.
And so I talk about a lot of different ways on how to make society safer by, believe it or not, having more guns in it.
Everybody asked me what I wanted for Christmas, and I told every single one of them I want a small gun lock. I want not the one you put through your gun, but a little gun safe where I know I poke a couple of buttons or have a key, and it opens immediately.
Yeah.
I want one in every room because I don't know where I'm going to be when somebody decides to get stupid. So I got to have them everywhere. But the biggest problem I have with what's going on in the country right now, and it seems to be the Democrats' favorite thing besides race baiting, it is this class warfare bullcrap, and I can't understand it because so many billionaires support the Democrats and their baiting of this class warfare. Any penny that I make does not belong to anyone else, and I don't understand how people feel that it does. I've never understood this process. Hard work gets you money, not sitting on your porch smoking a blunt at noon.
Right. Exactly. No, look, you're absolutely correct. And in that chapter, I go through different aspects of, you know, why limited government and changing the tax laws themselves will eliminate the class warfare argument, because class warfare is embedded in tax policy. Mm-hmm. So if you change the tax policy, you can change the class warfare argument in and of itself, and you remove that from the left, and they can't use that as the bludgeoning, you know, hammer that they've been using it for so long, the 1% versus 99%, the us versus them, and all that stuff. So I do talk about that. I talk about universal basic income and how it has failed every single place it has ever been tried. And I actually come up with an interesting way to change the tax code to make it fair for everybody by going to a consumption-only tax. And by doing that, you get rid of property taxes, estate taxes, income taxes, all the other different taxes. And if the consumption tax is done correctly, then it makes you keep more of your money, number one. And number two, you will also take that money and hopefully reinvest it back into the economy, thus making the economy stronger. Mm-hmm. So and eliminating that argument. So there's a lot of interesting things that I talk about with that.
Yeah, and you wouldn't, and I don't think we need to do taxes and tax returns either. I think if you have a consumption tax, we don't even need the IRS.
Yeah, absolutely. You could probably eliminate it, certainly. And you know, I talk about eliminating the administrative state in the book extensively, and going through and not just doing spending cuts, but kind of similar to what DOGE is going to be doing, hopefully here very, very soon. I talk about different ways of not only balancing the budget, but paying down at least $10 trillion worth of the national debt by incentivizing people that have, you know, more money than others to pay, you know, for a certain amount in their taxes towards the national debt in lieu of ever having to pay taxes again.
So how
so there's a lot of different solutions.
There are, and your book is fantastic. People need to read it so they can understand it. I'm so sick of people thinking the rich need to pay more taxes. They pay almost all of them already.
Oh, yeah.
So the fact that they're not paying their fair share is such a load of crap. I can't even say the words on the air that I actually feel about
right.
it. They're FCC restricted. But his cabinet picks so far, I've been just a little bit worried about a couple of them, but how would you like to be the guy that he's sending to North Korea and Venezuela and places like that as our advocate? I don't know if that would
be
a job.
He's talking about the envoy for Rick Grinnell.
Yeah, I don't think that I would want that job, but somebody's got to do it. So how do you feel about his picks so far? Tulsi, RFK Jr., I think that's a weird one. I think that's a weird spot for him.
Well, I kind of wanted to see him possibly as CIA director. I mean, yeah. You want to talk about going full circle, right?
Yeah, it's weird
but
to me.
But regardless, I think he can be the most consequential Kennedy in history, or at least, you know, close up there, you know, with JFK, mm-hmm. because if he's able to completely, fundamentally reorganize and change the food supply and make it healthier for all Americans, and actually kind of adopt more of a production for the food and getting rid of these different chemicals and forever chemicals and all the different things that we are now finding in our own food, bioengineered food, all these other crazy things. If he can clean up our health, that would be huge. And of course, you know, he could be that consequential. So him as Health and Human Services Secretary is good. It's, you know, what's interesting about this cabinet is they're all disruptors. The majority of them have either worked in the departments that they're now going to be running, or have sued or litigated or whistleblew against those organizations and agencies. So who better than to put people that have actually tried to fix those agencies from the outside in, now from the inside out? So I think it's interesting, you know, but we're going to see what happens. We'll see how everybody meshes. You know, Elon Musk, you know, doing the Doge thing, and RFK, and of course Tulsi, and we're going to see. It should be interesting, and I think all of these cabinet choices are going to be nominated and confirmed.
You know, I think they probably will be too. I've been even. I mean, I can't think of names this morning. I was up way too late. No, I'm thinking of Chuck Schumer. Even he likes some of them. So I mean, here we go.
Yeah. Well, it's very diverse when you think about it. It's a really diverse cabinet.
It is. So I think most of them are going to go through, if not all of them. And I'm just super impressed with 45, 47, how quickly he's putting this all together. Because the mm-hmm. minute he puts his hand on that Bible and takes the oath, he's going to be ready to go. And I know that he's going to spend on the military, because we need to get something done with our military, like, right now.
Yeah, well, one thing that I will say, and I'm going to go to Turning Point this weekend, and I'm going to say this as loud as I possibly can to as many people as humanly possible. I am very, very worried about the inauguration, and I'll say this publicly.
Yeah.
You know, with these drones flying around the size of SUVs, and our government acting as if they have no idea what they're about and where they're from and who's doing it and all this other stuff, I think that he ought to break protocol, and he ought to be doing his inauguration in a military installment in a secure building and not outside. We don't know what these drones are for. My God, if anything was to happen outside near the Washington Monument while he's doing his inauguration, and these drones are now in place and we don't know what they're for, and they're refusing to shoot them down or scramble, who knows what could happen? I mean, you could have his entire cabinet be outside with him. I mean, this could be really devastating. So I would advise the president to break protocol. These drones, we don't know where they're from and who they're from, whether it's Iranian intelligence, whether it's the CCP, or a combination of both. And remember, there's at least 5 assassination teams still actively searching for the president, and they've tried to kill him before. So I think it would be smart if he did something and broke protocol and did his inauguration inside.
I pray that he takes that. I know he wants to fight, and show his masculinity and not be afraid. But my God, Mr. President, we need you. We cannot have anything happen to you. But He refuses to live in fear, and he's not going to listen. He's going to do it. You know he is, Josh.
He's going to have it outside, I know, and now we just have to hope and pray that, you know, these drones are not going to be part of this inauguration in any way, shape, or form. But I will reach out to the people that are very close to him, close advisors, this weekend, and see if we can get him to possibly change his mind. I know people may want to go to the inauguration and be outside, but we need this president. We need this president healthy and safe and secure so that he can make America great again for the next 4 years.
Your mouth to God's ears. Josh Bernstein is an author, a talk show host, and a political analyst. Where do they get Preserving Liberty?
Yes, you can go pick up Preserving Liberty. It's a great Christmas stuffer for the stockings
Very
for people.
Much.
Maybe you have some liberals in your family. This is a book that was written right down the middle. I used left-leaning sources, but, man, is it radically pro-freedom, and it gives lots of different solutions. This is the type of book you want to read with a yellow highlighter in your hand. And my goal was to give the reader audible gasps at the information that's inside it. So please go to Amazon and look up Preserving Liberty Book, and you can order your copy right now.
Get it
before Christmas.
Get it, because there are some brave and very smart ideas in here. Josh, great book. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless. Anytime, any topic.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas.